The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a great morning. Debbie and I were in Austin. I was reading for a new book that's coming out in April or May, somewhere around there, and did my first book reading. And praise the Lord, it went pretty well. And so I got through it in about a day and a half, about 160, 70 pages of reading. And so we were traveling yesterday. I hope you heard the program that that we aired yesterday, my interview with Tom Webster, the J6er who had been given 10 years in prison. And he was, of all places, incarcerated here in Texarkana, Texas, and was released, pardoned by President Trump, along with all those J6ers. A fascinating interview about what happened to him, what was the real scoop there. This morning, we have Walker Wildman on the program, and Walker serves as Vice President of American Family Association and the CEO and member of the Board of Directors at American Family AFA Action. And Walker and Lexi are happily married. They have five children, and that's a bunch by anybody's count. And so I'm excited to have Walker on the program. We're going to talk about what's going on. Everybody's talking about what Trump is doing. He's moving at warp speed. If you watch Star Trek, you know that when you went into warp speed, I mean, it was another whole gear. And so he's like warp factor 9 as he is moving to right the ship of America and eliminate the waste and bring America back to sanity, to genders, to safety, controlling the border, getting the bad actors out of here, and Tom Holman doing that. Sanity, safety, law and order, making America great again, making America healthy again. Hopefully RFK Jr. gets approved and voted in to be our Health and Human Services Director. You know, anybody that's honest and looks at America, if you look at America like a business, you would say, okay, well, we're spending all this money on health care, and the health of Americans is horrific. And so something needs to be done. People are up in arms, or at least the left is, with Trump and Elon Musk going into USAID and saying, hey, no mas. We're not going to keep doing this. And on all the corruption that has been exposed through the monies that they're spending, I mean, how does anyone say, I don't want you to do that, let's just keep going business as usual? Well, to help me with these discussions is my friend Walker Wildman. Walker, welcome to the program.
Hey, Jeff, good to be on the program with you.
Well, I appreciate it, my friend. Okay, so just real quick, Walker, five kids. Are you guys still in the baby-making business?
Well, we just had our fifth about 3 months ago. So for now, we're not in the baby-making business, but we'll see what God has planned. But we definitely have enough to keep our hands full and our house busy.
So you go from 3 months to what?
Seven. How old? I've got a 7-year-old. He's my oldest. Now, I've got a set of, for people doing the math in their head, I've got a set of twins. They're in the middle. So I've got a 7-year-old twin, 5-year-olds that are about to be 6. I've got a 2-year-old that's almost 3. And then I've got a 3-month-old.
And then Wesley has how many kids?
Wesley has 3, and my sister has 3.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So my parents are a lot of grandkids. So yeah, I know you guys know about that.
Yeah, they're chock full. That's
yes.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, Walker, I know you're keeping tabs on what's going on in our country, and Trump has been president for just a couple of 2-3 weeks, and already so many fast-moving changes, and I think changes, you'd agree with me, these are changes in the right direction, changes that have been sorely needed. What would you give him as a grade for his first few weeks in office?
I give him a 10 out of 10. And he's doing better than he did the first term. And there's a lot of differences between the first term and this second term. The primary one is the people he's surrounding himself. These are top-notch people, and I know some of them, but I want people to understand that, you know, we don't know the heart of President Trump. We don't know where he is as far as salvation and Jesus goes. We can look at his works. We can look at his deeds. But no man truly knows the heart. But what we can say definitively is that he's got about 90% of the people around him are born-again believers. That's at least my anecdotal assessment. These are born-again believers in Jesus, not in, you know, some political movement. These are born-again believers in Jesus, and that shapes their worldview, and they're the ones helping the president. So there's the caliber of people around President Trump is so much better than the first time. The first time there were backstabbers, there were people self-dealing, there were people undermining. It was almost this reality show. But now we've got people in there that are serious about getting the job done. And this is a generational opportunity. I don't want people to miss this, because if our movement, if the Christian movement misses this, then we're going to be looking around in 4 years or 6 years going, man, we sure did squander that opportunity. But this is an opportunity at generational impact. And I'm talking about more than just 4 years. I'm talking about 8, 12, 16 years of political power that we could have here if we handle this opportunity correctly. So that's my overall assessment, and I've got a ton more thoughts on it, but that's where I'll stop.
What do you think? I was asked this question, Walker, the other day. Are you concerned at all with the Hindus that Trump is putting in, wanting to put into place, Kash Patel and Tulsi Gabbard? Does that concern you at all?
Well, of course, as a believer in the Bible, if I were the president, I wouldn't be picking Hindus to be in my cabinet. But nonetheless, the question that I always have for myself is, what impact are they going to have on things of biblical significance, right? Is their worldview going to conflict with a biblical worldview in such a way that it expresses itself in the cabinet position? And I know there were some concerns about RFK Jr., although he made his position abundantly clear in his confirmation hearing that he's going to abide by President Trump's wishes, and those are pro-life wishes. So RFK Jr. set the record straight on that. And he said, if we want to be a moral nation, we can't have abortion. That's RFK Jr.'s words directly. But on Tulsi and Kash Patel, that doesn't concern me. It doesn't concern me. I don't think it's consistent with our founding fathers, because we are a Christian nation and all of our laws and constitution are written in such context. But nonetheless, I think the pros outweigh the cons with both of them because of their seriousness about reform. And Tulsi Gabbard, you know, I don't know how much she's actually tethered to Hinduism. People want to put that on her. But I never hear her talk about it, and her dad's actually a Catholic. People don't know that either. Tulsi Gabbard's dad, Mike, actually worked with Don Wildman, my grandfather, to restore a natural marriage in Hawaii. So her roots go back actually pretty conservatively when you look at it. Kash Patel, same thing. I don't ever hear him talk about Hinduism. Mm-mm. But he, this guy, Patel's been around the deep state for a long time, and he knows how they work. And he's probably one of the most qualified to run the FBI. So once again, when we elected President Trump, we knew, you know, there's going to be some things we don't like. But what I like to tell people is, I don't even agree with my wife on everything. Now I like to, right? And the core issues I do, right? We're equally yoked. But the reality is this whole, you know, false premise that we're supposed to agree with everything our political leaders do, I don't even know where that came from. But there were people that didn't like some of the stuff George Washington was doing in our founding era, and he was like a king. I mean, they actually wanted him to be the king.
Right.
So he had broad consensus, broad support. So I just think, I think we need to hold our standard, right, and we need to make sure that our leaders understand our position and our preferences. But at the end of the day, we don't need to let because one person out of 22 cabinet members we don't like, or maybe they profess a faith that we don't believe in, I just don't think that needs to be a setback. We don't need to get held up on that, because there's like 100 other things we can be working on that are good for the church that we need to focus on.
Yeah. Good. Well said. Well, Trump, big day yesterday. He signed the executive order on transgender athletes and keeping female sports for females, biological females. This is what he had to say. And I loved how he took it even a step further with the Olympics and said, we're not going to let you compete in our country, you know, a male going up against females. This is what he had to say.
But Marco is going to make clear to the International Olympic Committee is there, and he's going to make it as clear as anybody can make it, that America categorically rejects transgender lunacy. We want them to change everything having to do with the Olympics and having to do with this absolutely ridiculous subject, that we even have to talk about this subject. If you went back 10 years or 15 years and you would move forward and listen to this, you'd say, what the hell are they talking about? This is impossible. But you have people out there, Democrats, that are still totally in favor. They can't win the argument. They can't win a debate. They look like fools, and they continue to go on. Just in 2028, my administration will not stand by and watch men beat and batter female athletes, and we're just not going to let it happen, and it's going to end, and it's ending right now, and nobody's going to be able to do a damn thing about it, because when I speak, we speak with authority.
Well, that was President Trump not mincing words there. Your take on that, Walker?
Yeah, the executive order was good that President Trump signed yesterday. It's still unclear what the ramifications are legally, you know, how broad reaching it will be. The president has a lot of say over the federal government and federal regulations, which do trickle down to public education and even Title 10, I believe it is. So some of these executive orders are more so, you know, statements with exclamation marks than they are actually law. Because with a lot of this stuff, you're going to have to get Congress involved. But the president can do some stuff, and to his credit, he's doing whatever he can. But the strategy that Trump is deploying, I talked about this on my show yesterday, the strategy he's deploying is what's now known as a flood the zona strategy. And Steve Bannon talked about this with PBS a couple years ago, well, several years ago in 2019. And it's a strategy that the left is completely unfamiliar with. And this same strategy is deployed in warfare and other realms as well. But Trump is moving so fast that the left can't keep up. And the deep state and the Democrat Party and the media, which are three different segments of this like propaganda machine, I was reading a thread. They take about 72 hours to build a narrative, meaning they've got to coordinate with all their major players. Mm-hmm. They've got to get the party leaders on board. They've got to get it proof. They got to do these fake interviews with quote unquote experts. And after 72 hours, they've got a narrative built. And then if they can get the narrative to stick against us, then they can ride on it for at least 2 weeks and make a big scandal out of it. Right? Russia hoax, that went on for years. You know, kids in cages, right? That was a 3-week ordeal, and it was all fake. So, but Trump's moving so fast that by the time the New York Times gets the headline up on the homepage of their app, Trump's doing something else that they're enraged about, right? So they're moving that headline, and they're putting another one up for 10 minutes until Trump does something else. So the whole system that the deep state and the Democrats and the media have used for decades to destroy people like you and me and people like President Trump, their system's completely obsolete, and they don't know what to do about it. This is why Chuck Schumer and others are at the steps of the Capitol just yelling into microphones, because they literally can't do anything. They have no legal authority. They have no political power. Yeah. They have no influence. Nobody's watching MSNBC listening to this garbage. So President Trump's on a roll, and a flood the zone strategy is something that has the Democrats in some serious trouble.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, he is moving so fast with these things, and I totally agree with you, Walker. He's got good people that are carrying the ball. I mean, Elon is top notch. He's not as smart as AOC, but he is top notch in my book. And then Marco Rubio and Pam Bondi now, she's hitting the ground running. And our borders are Tom Holman. He may talk like he has a mouthful of pebbles, but man, I like the way that guy operates. And he doesn't let the grass grow under his feet. So it's exciting to see such a rapid advancement of righteousness from, I think from a Christian perspective, we would all say that, hey, this is sanity, this is righteousness, this is good. Let's keep praying for it. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to Walker Wildman, and we will be right back after the break. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here talking to Walker Wildman, Vice President of American Family Association and the CEO of AFA Action. And so, Walker, we heard from Mike Johnson just yesterday talking about what's going on at DOGE and what's going on with USAID. This is what he had to say as he spoke to a group of people.
Look, I got to challenge the premise of the question, Chad. You know me. I'm a fierce advocate and defender of Article 1. I mean, that, look, we are the legislative branch. There's a reason the Founding Fathers put the Congress, the legislative branch, as the first article in the Constitution, and we're going to vigorously defend that. But what's happening right now, I think there's a gross overreaction in the media to what is happening. The executive branch of government in our system has the right to evaluate how executive branch agencies are operating and to ensure that not only the intent of Congress in funding mechanisms, but also the stewardship of precious American taxpayer dollars is being handled well. That's what they're doing by putting a pause on some of these agencies and by evaluating them, by doing these internal audits. That is a long overdue, much welcome development. That's what the American people demand and deserve. And that's what's happening. So we don't see this as a threat to Article 1 at all. We see this as an active, engaged, committed executive branch authority doing what the executive branch should do.
So, Walker, people have been up in arms. The left has been up in arms with DOGE and going into, especially USAID, how dare they look at their books and that kind of thing. That's what they're supposed to do. That's what a good president is supposed to do.
Yeah.
How do you think the left makes the case that he shouldn't be doing that?
Yeah, so we're going to spend the next 4 years educating the public on how the Constitution works and how Congress works and how funding works. So these are good conversations, Jeff. So what's happening here, folks, is Congress authorizes money, and they authorize a lot of it. And with much of it, I don't know the percentage, probably at least half of it, maybe not quite, is not specifically authorized to a certain entity, right? So for example, they basically create these slush funds that go to all these agencies, including USAID, but Congress doesn't tell USAID exactly which recipients are deserving of the financial aid. So it basically leaves it up to the agency discretion to distribute these billions of dollars to all these NGOs, these nonprofits, and these other entities around the world. So what's happened here is when Congress doesn't specifically tell the executive agencies where to send the money to, which recipients are supposed to receive the aid, then they are leaving it up to the discretion of the executive branch on whether even to distribute the aid at all. And that's what's happening here. All that DOGE is doing, and people want to say, oh, Elon Musk, he's a rogue billionaire in our government. Well, first off, President Trump told everybody on the campaign trail on a litany of occasions that Elon Musk was going to head up DOGE. So all the voters knew this. There's no deception going on here. Elon Musk went on the stage at multiple rallies of President Trump and said he's going to head up DOGE and they're going to cut out the waste and abuse. So every voter in the country knew exactly what they were bargaining for when they voted for President Trump. That's point number one. Point number two, Elon Musk isn't the one actually in the building doing all of this. They've got tons of employees within DOGE, and this is now an official office of the president. So people also speaking about DOGE as if it's this rogue group of 20-year-olds running around D.C. cutting off payment systems, that's just not true at all. This is an official office of the executive management, the office of the president that is carrying out his duties. But lastly, This is Congress's fault, all right? When Congress creates these slush funds and doesn't tell the executive branch where to send the money, that leaves the discretion within the executive branch on whether to send the money at all. And that's all that DOGE is doing, is they're going through the payment system and they're finding which monies are not specifically allocated by Congress, which leaves it up to the executive branch to control, and they're cutting off that funding. It's 100% legitimate, 100% legal. And if Congress wants the money to continue to be distributed, they're going to have to specifically allocate it. The reason they don't do that, Jeff, is because the junk they're funding, they're embarrassed about. They're funding transgender books in Guatemala. Mm-hmm. They're funding drag queen story hour in Haiti. They're funding transgender advertisements in Turkey. And they don't want that to come out in the legislation, so they don't put it in there specifically. They just create the slush fund. And then one more thing, Jeff, is that what the DOGE team has done is brilliant. They have gained control of the Treasury payment system. All right. So instead of relying on the bureaucrats to stop the payments, the fraudulent payments and the waste and abuse, the DOGE team has actually gone into the computer system and gotten super admin access, and they've literally shut down the Treasury payment system for this waste and abuse, which is, there's no other way for this money to go out without going through the Treasury system.
Walker, do you think that, like, the money that was supposed to go was however many million dollars, $50 million for condoms in Gaza?
Right.
Do you think that's just a ruse, and that's just $50 million for you guys use it however you want?
Well, it's hard to know. So is there fraud, and is there just straight up Ponzi schemes? Absolutely, 100% there is. You know, so what does that look like? I'm not sure. I'm sure that the Trump team will actually find out whether there were actual condoms in Gaza. By the way, they're using those to rape the hostages and to make bombs. So the U.S. is funding that. I mean, this is egregious stuff. But yeah, some of it we're going to find out, to your point. There's no assets involved. There's no goods and services involved. It's just literally straight up fraud. And we're going to find out some of that money's making it back to politicians' pockets in Washington, right, D.C., especially with Ukraine. The Ukrainian president said the other day in an interview, there's $100 million that he didn't even know where it is. That was his quote. That's Zelensky's quote. He doesn't know where the money is, and he's the president. We need, and I'm expecting within the next couple of days, Pam Bondi, the attorney general that was sworn in yesterday, she needs to open a federal investigation into these monies that are being sent to who knows where and then coming back into the pockets of politicians. This needs to be a full-on federal investigation. Criminal, by the way.
For sure. Well, I ran across the article about Pam Bondi. She has issued orders to halt federal funding to 220 sanctuary cities and has directed the Department of Justice to begin prosecuting officials who obstruct ICE enforcement. Well within her rights to do that. I mean, as you were saying, the left likes to scream foul and out of bounds and all that stuff. That's her job. That's her right to do that. So how can you have it both ways, where we want to have all this graft and corruption, and if you try and tighten the screws on us, then we're going to scream and go to the microphone like Chuck Schumer, and we're not going to have this, and Hakeem Jeffries, we're going to take it to the courts, we're going to take it to the streets, fight, 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 that kind of thing.
Yeah.
This doesn't make any sense.
No, the hypocrisy is abounding, but this is how it always is with the Democrats. But I think, to your point, it's very, very much blatant and in your face at this juncture. We were being run by a shadow government the last 4 years, and let's not forget this. Joe Biden wasn't in charge. And his aides even admitted that he wasn't in charge. And now, we found more and more out as he stepped out of the presidential race. But if people are upset about, like, the people they elected not running the government, well, Biden wasn't running the government for the whole 4 years. I mean, there were some serious questions about whether he even cognitively knew anything that he did. Mike Johnson met with the president, right, President Biden, and asked him why he paused the liquid natural gas exports. And Biden said, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, quote, I didn't do that. Whoa, 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 Mr. President. You're telling me you didn't sign that executive order? He told Mike Johnson in the Oval Office that I don't know what you're talking about. So who signed the executive order? So I think if anybody needs to be upset about like people, shadow bureaucrats running the government and not the president, they need to be look back at the Biden administration. There's legitimate legal questions about whether anything that had Biden's signature on it is legit. Because think about this, Jeff. If you go to your, you know, 90-year-old parent who is suffering from severe dementia that's been clinically diagnosed, and you have them sign a document like authorizing you money or assets or something,
right?
If it comes out that they were not in a proper mental state to sign that document, that's going to put the whole thing in jeopardy. All right.
Sure.
Imagine that at a national scale where Joe Biden literally doesn't know anything he's doing, but his signature's on everything. So that this has never been really a question before in presidential history, but it's definitely something interesting to talk about.
For sure. Let's shift gears a little bit, Walker, and talk about Trump's comments with Benjamin Netanyahu concerning Gaza. This is what he had to say. I'm hopeful that he didn't. I don't think he had any colorful language in this one. We'll stop it if it did.
The only reason the Palestinians want to go back to Gaza is they have no alternative. It's right now a demolition site. This is just a demolition site. Virtually every building is down. They're living under fallen concrete that's very dangerous and very precarious. They instead can occupy all of a beautiful area with homes and safety, and they can live out their lives in peace and harmony instead of having to go back and do it again. The U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip, and we will do a job with it, too.
So the U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip. Do you think he's just blowing smoke, or do you think that's what he really wants us to do?
I think he's being ambitious, and somebody planted this seed. I don't know who it was, but it was a terrible idea. And here's why, Jeff, and I gave the president a 10 out of 10, and the reason I didn't ding him on this one is because it actually hasn't come to fruition. This was simply one off-the-cuff comment at a press conference. But if they start moving on this, like with money and action, then I'm going to have to bump them down to a 9 out of 10. No, but seriously, this is a bad idea. We've tried nation building in the past, and think of Afghanistan and Iraq and other places. It's just a terrible idea. The U.S. didn't create the mess, right? Israel and Hamas primarily started the fight. Israel's the one that bombed Gaza into oblivion. So it's not our responsibility under any circumstance to quote-unquote rebuild Gaza. Secondly, there's a serious poison and rot with Islamic Jihad and the entire Muslim religion in the Middle East, where they think it's good to rape women, rape children, and do suicide bombs at public venues. Like, they think this is a good thing to do. And this is an entire religion, a false religion in the Middle East. And Iran, of course, is funding it. If you talk to any military expert, anybody who's a veteran who has served in the Middle East, and you ask them, like, can you build your way out of Islamic Jihad? They'll say, absolutely not. You can't even bribe these people out of Islamic Jihad, because that's what we were doing with U.S. aid in Afghanistan. We were literally handing out cash to the jihadis trying to get them to calm down, but they wouldn't. And now the Taliban's in charge of Afghanistan. So the idea that we can turn Gaza into like the next Tel Aviv is an absolute joke. That will not happen. If it does happen, you're going to have all the Muslim nations in the region, including Egypt and Saudi Arabia and Jordan, completely on board with the strategy. So I think it's wishful thinking, and I don't want to see one penny of American tax dollars go to whatever rebuilding Gaza looks like.
What do you make of Trump's comment concerning somebody putting a bounty on his head? I think he was referring to Iran, and that they would be obliterated. You kind of read through the lines, and what does that mean? We nuke them if somebody tries to take Trump out. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that was, you know, he was responding honestly, like he usually does, and I think. You know, what he's saying there is, look, the bounty on Trump's head is a real thing. The FBI and others have noted it. And he's probably told his advisors and probably told Vance that, hey, you know, if they take me out, here's what you guys need to do to get back at them and to defeat them. So, which, you know, it kind of sounds like wild that the president will be talking about obliterating an entire nation. but when the question is, you know, what if they assassinate you? If that's the context of the question, that's a pretty big deal. So, right. You know, obliterating Iran if they assassinate our commander in chief is probably par for the course. And I don't think that'll happen. But Trump's probably just blowing smoke and also sending a signal to Iran that they need to ease off.
What, Walker, from your perspective, how do you think the other leaders of the world view the U.S. now under Trump?
Well, the thing about Trump, and this is real, honestly his greatest asset, is he's unpredictable. And this is what Iran, and just like the comments we just talked about obliterating Iran, he's so unpredictable, and the foreign leaders, they can't figure him out. They can't get him down to a science, and that scares them because they don't know what he's going to do next. So I think that's one of his biggest assets. And lastly, I think that America's respected on the world stage. Look, we're not trying to be, we don't need to be everybody's friend on the world stage. We don't need to be everybody's piggy bank. People need to respect us. That's a fact. It's just like in the business world. You need to be respected with your peers in the business world. And what he's doing with these Central and South American nations who've said, oh, we're not taking our citizens back, with the tariffs with China, with Canada and Mexico, all of this stuff is enabling America and our dignitaries to be taken serious on the world stage.
Yeah, I think it's hard to argue with that. I had somebody try and tell me that, you know, Trump has made us a laughingstock in the world. It's
no.
Like, good grief. Did were you asleep the last 4 years? I mean, nobody took Joe Biden seriously. He was, you know, out to lunch. People take Donald Trump seriously. You know, the saying, speak softly and carry a big stick. Well, he doesn't speak softly, but he carries a big stick. And that does put people in a little nervous situation. Well, Walker, thanks so much for coming on today. I appreciate your insights, my friend, and appreciate all that you do for the kingdom. And God bless you with your newest child. Five in the home is a lot.
Yes. Thanks, Jeff. God bless.
Thank you. We're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. And when we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, love to hear from you. So give me a call and let's talk. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. And I wanted to share with you a prayer. I was reading in Psalms today and ran across Psalm 72. I just kind of go through, try and do a program where you read a proverb a day and then 5 psalms a day. I'm not always consistent with the five Psalms, but reading through Psalms and Proverbs on a regular basis, that's a good thing to do, and I was introduced to that early in my Christian life. So Psalm 72, it's a Psalm of Solomon, and it's a great psalm to pray for President Trump and the Trump administration. It says this, "Give the king your judgments, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son. May he judge your people with righteousness and your afflicted with justice. Let the mountains bring peace to the people and the hills in righteousness. May he vindicate the afflicted of the people, save the children of the needy, and crush the oppressor. Let them fear you while the sun endures and as long as the moon throughout all generations. May he come down like rain upon the mown grass, mown grass, like showers that water the earth. In his days may the righteous flourish and abundance of peace till the moon is no more." So Psalm 72, verses 1 through 7, a great prayer to pray for President Trump and for J.D. Vance and for the administration, the Trump administration, that God would give them wisdom and that they would operate in wisdom and that they would do what the Lord wants to have done, and that we would right the ship called America and get us back to a place of sanity, of safety, of law and order. I applaud Trump for just calling a spade, so to speak, as it relates to transgenderism. It is lunacy. And we've been dealing with the lunacy as Joe Biden and Barack Obama just welcomed it, you know, and we're all for the LGBTQIA plus agenda. And, you know, no mas is what Trump is saying. You know, there are two genders. There's male and female. Gender and sex are inseparably linked. And you're not going to have males participating in female sports. End of story. We're just not going to do that anymore. And we're not going to let other countries come into the Olympics and let their male athletes box in the boxing ring or compete in any other event against females. Just we're not going to do it because that is just wrong. That is unfair. And that is just playing into the lunacy. So I was watching a clip from a pastor in California, and he was talking to his church about a post he made about Trump. I never saw the post, but he just says such agony, you know, over, well, people think I'm, you know, I'm playing sides and I'm like pro-Trump. And, you know, it's like, just stand up and be counted. You know, I recognize Trump for who he is. I don't worship Trump. I don't look at everything he does and say, oh, that's great, that's great, that's great. When he does great things, as Walker was on the program saying, hey, I give him a 10 out of 10. And he said, well, maybe a 9 out of 10 because the Gaza comment was a little strange. But that remains to be seen what comes of that. But he's making good choices. He's making good decisions. He's doing exactly what he said he was going to do when he was on the campaign trail. And as Walker pointed out, hey, Elon Musk is not somebody that slipped through under the radar. He was campaigning with Trump. And Trump said, I'm going to put Elon in charge of the Department of Government Efficiency, and we're going to look at all the monies that we're spending, and we're going to cut all the waste and monies going out the door to things that don't advance America's interests. Secretary Caroline Leavitt, and she is amazing, the press secretary, She announced that the Department of Government Expenditure, DOGE, is ceasing all funding to Politico and other media outlets, highlighting concerns over government funding in media. Yeah, why should tax money go to that? Why should tax money go to NPR? Why should any tax money go to supporting Planned Parenthood? I hope that that gets axed very quickly. And, you know, it's just sickening what we're spending money on. And then all of the things that we're finding, all these boondoggle investment, you know, programs and things that we're doing in other parts of the world. Is that legit? As Walker and I were saying, you know, $50 million for condoms in Gaza. Is that $50 million for condoms, or is that $50 million for you to buy more bombs and work against Israel and then ultimately against America? So I applaud President Trump. And, you know, you look at the guy, he's got warts just like you have warts, just like I have warts. As I was talking to a friend of mine just yesterday, he said, I don't understand how Christians, we were so hard on President Clinton, but then we give President Trump a pass. And I said, well, here's the difference. I said, what Bill Clinton did, he did as president. You know, the things he did in the Oval Office with Monica Lewinsky, and that was right as president. I said, the things that they're coming at Trump about occurred a long time ago. And so it's not like he did that last week. I mean, he did that 15 years ago, and he's apologized. He apologized to his family, apologized for that. It was terrible. It was awful. He's not trying to dismiss it. He's not trying to say, well, it depends on your definition of the word is, as Bill Clinton did. And so I think there is a big difference there. And I think Trump wants to do right. People that are saying, I had one guy tell me, oh, Trump is so corrupt. All he cares about is money. He's just enriching himself. It's like, yeah, Trump doesn't take any money. His first term, I read where he lost a third of his net worth as a result of being president. And you see Barack Obama as a multi-millionaire, Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, all these people that are supposedly public civil servants that have made untold millions of dollars, the Clintons, and you're saying that Trump is the one who's corrupt, and these people are, you know, they're lily white, and they're just so altruistic and just so moral. It's just total hypocrisy from my vantage point. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you. And we have Marty on the line from Iowa. Marty, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Jeff, thank you very much. One of the things I was wondering, in Genesis, early on in 12, 13, 14, when God was making the distinction of Israel, he was beginning Israel, the Jewish people, and he told Abram to go walk the land, and he gave a description of the boundaries. And am I mistaken, or was Gaza, this little strip, pulled out of the Mediterranean Sea, or was that not a concession that Israel, in order to try to achieve peace back in the late 50s and early 60s, that they gave that strip of land? And as far as God is concerned, is that not part of Israel? And in part of the reconstruction, shouldn't the Israeli people just move into that Gaza area? Am I mistaken at this or not?
No, I think you're exactly right. Yeah, I think they have made concessions, just like the West Bank, they made concessions. Israel doesn't have to do that. That's the land God gave them. And I think they're, you know, they've bent over backwards to try and make peace, you know, there in the Middle East. But, you know, you can't make peace with people that are just determined to destroy you. I mean, that's their DNA. As the people in Hamas said, we love death as much as you love life. We will defeat you because we love death as much as you love life. And no doubt they do, because Islam is a satanic religion. People don't like to hear that, but it's true. You have the true religion, if we use that word religion, you have what is true. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And then everything else is false. And so Buddhism is false. Islam is false. Confucianism is false. Hinduism is false. All those things. And where's the falsity coming from? It's coming from the father of lies. And so it says in Acts chapter 13, the Apostle Paul said to Elymas, the magician, he said, you never cease to make crooked the straight paths of the Lord. And that's exactly what the devil does. He's constantly trying to make crooked the straight paths of the Lord. And you have true and undefiled religion, and everything else is false. And so it's not a, it's not, well, that's what you believe and this is what I believe. It's like, no, there's true north and then there's everything else that's not true north. So I think you're exactly right, Marty.
Thank you very much. I was just, I didn't know if I was incorrect on that or not. It wasn't like Jehovah God said, you get all this, oh, except this little strip.
No, it's the whole thing. And you know, Israel didn't occupy, even in the book of Joshua, they didn't occupy every place that they could have occupied. It's well been stated that that the promised land was bigger than what they actually took. And even interestingly enough, Jebus, which was the city of the Jebusites, which became Jerusalem, they couldn't occupy that at first. David ended up attacking Jebus and the Jebusites and the stronghold that was there, and he made that the city of David. And so that was a key strategic thing that he did. So when he set up his kingdom, he didn't pick one of the existing cities in Israel. He said, well, we've never taken this, and God's given that to us, so I'm going to take it. And interestingly enough, too, when he defeated Goliath, he took the head of Goliath to Jebus. And I think what he was saying was he was parading that around the outside of the city, saying, you see this guy, you guys are going to fall next. And so God had put that place into the heart of David, even as a teenage boy, and he knew that that was going to be his city. And so interesting little tidbit there from the Old Testament. But Marty, I appreciate the call. Thank you so much. We have Scott on the line from Mississippi. Scott, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, and welcome back to your hometown, to your church town, your congregation. I know you're glad to get off the road. It's where you're
Yes,
out,
thank you. Yeah,
hope you have Austin, a good time with your grandkids.
Well, I didn't get to see them, so they're in the Woodlands, and so we were in Austin, and so that'll have to come later.
They didn't plan a sneak attack on you then. That's good.
No, they didn't. We were pretty busy.
All right. Well, I know that was a good adventure for you doing that reading for the first time, and I hope that kind of widened your horizons for some good inspirational productivity later on that you might not have crossed that bridge otherwise. So
yeah, for sure. Well, thank you, Scott. I appreciate that. What's on your mind today?
Trying to make this first comment as concise. It's something a host on one of yesterday's AFR programs was encouraging people to call their federal and state representatives, because as we know, the mainstream media is corrupt, but also you had a lot of local media outlets that are owned that received money, and he knows that, he knew that, but they are, most of your media people, especially your smaller outlets, are saying they didn't have a choice but to go along with the narrative during COVID. And they were strong arm coerced, whatever you want to call it. And he was requesting, encouraging the listeners to call the reps so that they could require those decision makers and media folks to go before, under oath, go before, testify that they either did or did not receive government money. So it would basically be extorting them to go along with the government narrative at that time. And so I was just kind of want to point that out, because it was something that he was on the end of media. He was in media at the time and knew that happened. And I think that would help a lot of the rot to be exposed, so that it could be excised from the culture in such a free flowing way as it has been. The media, as you and Walker already talked about this morning, is a lot slower than we give them credit. We get instant media all the time, 24/7, and all, you know, it's just bang, bang, bang. But it's not really. It takes a lot. It's a lot more cumbersome for them to put it out there than we probably think. Mm-hmm. The other thing I was going to ask you as a pastor was, yesterday Argentina decided to get out of the World Health Organization because we're going to get out. And I was just wanting you to comment on alliances compared to in the Bible, what our alliance is like today, how they might need to be revised. And
Yeah, good question. I'll have to work on that one, Scott. We are out of time. Tammy in North Carolina, I'm sorry we didn't get to you, but thanks for listening to Real Truth for today. And let me encourage you to pray Psalm 72, those first seven verses that I'd mentioned. Pray that for President Trump. He needs our prayers. This is an opportunity that we have. We've been given from God, and we need to pray for revival. Deliverance for America doesn't come from the White House. It comes from God's house. And so God's people need to pray. Look forward to being with you again tomorrow. Go out, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.